Here, this is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, and tonight we have with us Plane Walker. Hey, Plane Walker, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Kathy. It's great to be here.
And Plane Walker is a long friend of mine from the Yahoo chat groups that we teach in, and I just wanted her, she was supposed to be with us last week, and something happened that we were not able to get her on the air with the phone technical difficulties, but we're glad to have her here this week, and I wanted her to share with us in the listening audience of her death experience and how she came back to life and how she is just wondrously gifted with so many different aspects of life. And as many of you listening audience and viewers of the archives as well as the web pages have known that I have posted up some of our IMs of Plane Walker's _777 of some of the words that we get, some of the intuitions that we get, and some of the gifts that we have spread around, and how we are both masters in many, many areas. And this is the famous Plane Walker. Okay, Plane, there you have it.
Oh, my goodness, famous.
Yes,
I'm
you
quite
are.
Humbled. I'm very humbled. Thank you. It's a beautiful entry, Kathy.
Well, thank you.
I think what where I would like to start about the death experiences, where a lot of people are the most interested, is what happened at the time that you passed away, and what did you see? Is it like what a lot of people see in their death experience, which it seems like it was quite different? It was October 30th, 1992. I had finally convinced this doctor that a tumor that I had was reaching a point of being very critical with me. I did not really know if I was going to be able to survive much longer with it. And it turned out to be the fateful move of saving my life. A very dear friend of mine who was caring for me stayed with me during the night. And I remember the part of being very restless, being quite concerned about the fluid that was building up, and I knew something was wrong. And I walked down to the nurse's station, and I showed them my hand, and of course they said that, well, they had the doctor do something when they come in, but I knew, something told me that that was not going to be in time. And I stepped away from the desk, and that's the last thing that I remember. And my friend Rhonda picks up the story where she says that she awoke to find me just inside the room, the door to my room. My back was to her. She crawled up onto the bed, calling out to me, but I would never acknowledge her. She said, I suddenly shot my hands up into the air, and I just erupted into this bright white light, and she says there was this blue hue to the edges. All I could do was just stare at you, trying to figure out what I was seeing. And after a few moments of this, she said that the next thing that she sees is that I'm flying backwards through the air, and I'm coming towards her. She opens up her arms, I land in them, she catches me. My belief is that so much energy that I released, because I believe that she was seeing my true form, my true energy form, and that it was just such a massive release of it that not only did it propel me backwards, but it knocked out the entire electrical system in my body, which caused me to go into a cardiac arrest.
Uh-huh.
While they were working on me, the first thing that I've become aware of is that I'm looking at these mammoth-sized crystals that are quartz crystals. I saw this energy coming out of them, that I knew that this energy and this light was its own resource. And I knew that that was a representation to God. I grew up in a religion that teaches against anything that stones may have, any abilities, you know. And when I think back on that, as after I'm recovering from what I would go through, and as I would learn that I would get the message that, oh, I get the crystals, the God stones.
Yes, we've talked about that many times.
Huh?
I said we've talked about that many times.
Yes. Matter of fact, it was by accident that I would start collecting crystals. I was putting some in it into a jewelry bag, dropping them in after I had charged them, and I'd seen this light. And I thought, what, did I just see what I think I saw? And so I'd pull out the big crystal and I'd drop it down in there. Sure enough, here's this light that when these two stones come into contact, they'll emit light. They'll shoot through the crystal. If you go into a dark room and strike them together, even amethyst, anything that's crystal, will do this. And I would learn that wearing the crystal over my heart gives me that kind of energy, amps my energies and abilities as I had seen it in these mammoth crystals.
Right.
When I seen the colored crystals, I had heard people talk about, death experience talk about, that colors seem to be alive. They seem to be, they vibrate at such a high frequency, they literally seem as if they are alive. That's a very true statement. And I know that it's kind of hard to understand that.
It's like a radio frequency, except for higher octaves.
Yes.
And it's also probably like the highest octave in the sound that you can get, as well as the highest octave in the auras that you can get. It's the highest high that you can get in all frequencies, I'm sure.
Yeah, the purest of the pure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're right. Well,
when you got knocked backwards and they started reviving you.
Yes, they worked on me for 14 minutes, which is a considerable long time to be over in the other side.
You said you had 12 masses removed from your neck at one time.
I seem to have, my body seems to be developing a lot of tumors.
Uh-huh.
And we've just found out there's more. There's more that's come up. I'm battling constantly these health problems. And at the same time that I'm trying to learn how to take my knowledge, take what I'm learning from other people to try to heal myself, because it's I'm not having very much success trying to find health professionals that can help with me. And it seems like this is showing me that we are starting to see a direction of people going back to natural healers, energy healers, because I come across an energy healer in Phoenix that actually, for the first time in several years, that I started feeling an alleviation of what these tumors, these health problems were causing. There's a direction that's going back to natural products, natural medicine.
I want to ask you a question, because I pulled up one of our archives back in 10/6/2007. If you could go to your email, I emailed it to you a couple of days ago, like last week when you were going to be on the show. And I emailed it from brightlightspath@aol.com. And it says that you saw, when you were blown backwards, it says, "You'll never forget what happened with Christ and I. And we discussed other parts at a time later. It blew away, and that was after Christ and I spoke. Christ's eyes were a bluish silver color, and out of them came the beaming white light. I could tell this was coming from the depths of his soul. Mine were bluish silver. Piercing through the eyes, it felt like a double-edged sword. I could feel it searching and seeking me out to the depths of my soul. I immediately thought of the passage, "I know, if you know me before men, I know you before my Father," which I said, "Of course I know you, Lord." And Christ smiled so warmly and lovingly, I went all and melted at his feet. Awestruck, Lord. And then you said, "You got to tell me the next part." And then I was like anticipating and couldn't wait. Do you remember that in the?
Oh, yes.
And then you were talking to Moses as well?
Yes. Yes. I have heard about spiritual leaders talk about the unconditional love of God, the unconditional love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that time when I had...
We talked with aliens and the greens and grays as well, you said. We talked about the aliens and the gray, and we talked about Moses told you about the aliens, you said.
Yes. It was Moses that that showed me this what looked like a photo booth. People were going into this photo booth, and I could see as if pictures were being taken. And they would come out as a changed person, and I could tell what was going on was that there were this alien energy that were going into these people. A very great sadness came over me. And he was showing me other ways that this was happening, and I just, again with a great sadness, why Moses? Why is this happening? And Moses' response was that mankind on its own is not able to reach the technology that we need to get it at. And so this that is the kind that is coming in to help us progress are the Pleiadians, are these other ones that are trying to help benefit the earth. These are the ones that I was seeing, although
right.
I know about the other kind.
Right. And also that we were talking about, that's how we'd start with dream interpretations as well, and the veil, and that's when we started. I was telling you how in this the ship, you saw the ship, the mothership, and also in this, I'm just going to scan over this this archive right quick if you don't mind, because there's like four parts of it. Where I dug up my own stones, and I get them from all different parts of the world, and I opened up my third eye by placing the crystal on my third eye.
Oh, yes.
And that's how I became aware of how to remote view. I did a remote viewing on the 17th and was talking about how we open up our classes, you know, in Yahoo, and... you know, that was a really neat show. But as well, we were talking about the empathic and the indigo children.
Yes.
You want to talk a little bit about the indigo children?
Would love to.
Oh,
I love working with the indigo children.
As you know, I'm very ADHD, and I have a... child that has went to Door Academy, which only held 60 children that were accepted into school. He was called severe neurological learning disabilities, where I am still an adult ADHD person that they want to put on Ritalin all the time, but I just refuse to do it. I do this thing where they hook up to my brain, and I look at a kind of like a computer screen. I'm going to just tell you this right quick, and then you can talk about indigo children. But it has, like, three spaceships at the bottom of the screen, one to the far left, one in the center, and one to the far right. And with the hookups to the wires that are hooked to the computer system, I have to keep my brain with the center spaceship, or it can be an airplane. It just depends on what I feel like that day. I have to keep that ship at the highest top of the computer screen, and I have to keep the bottom two level at the very bottom. But I have to keep it just like I'm flying a plane, very level at the very top, and that keeps my attention span clear. And that helps me to control my brain waves, my neurotransmitters, firing my synapses in my brain. And that's what they're teaching me to do without using Ritalin.
Yes.
But the Indigo children are very gifted, and, you know, that's what the masterhood's all about, you know, accomplishing all the gifts at one time, not at one time, but, you know, focusing in on each individual gift. Now, what do you foresee in Indigo children as well?
Indigos and crystals are much alike. One of the ways that a person can figure out if they're indigo and a crystal, both, is a few questions to think back on your childhood, or if you have children, think back on their behavior and ask them some questions. Even you can ask them this: when you were very, very young, as far back as you can remember, did anybody really have to teach you right from wrong, that you just seem to have this knowledge of knowing basically what is right, what is wrong? Does your body feel like a foreign spacesuit to you, very peculiar, this body of flesh, almost not quite knowing how to walk in it? It takes, like, practice, getting very familiar about how it moves, the ways that it moves, what it feels, because even a lot of pain is very foreign to us. Another question is,
I have to laugh because I have to interrupt you. It's almost like when you're driving a car, or almost like when you're in something for the first time. I go, I am so not comfortable doing this. And when I walk, and when I like to disassociate from myself in meditations,
mm-hmm.
because I'm more comfortable on the outside and going places. Because I always said that I was a miscarriage that happened, or I'm hanging upside down in a tree that the world is right side up. Or I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, yes. That's another point, is not feeling like you fit in. And actually,
it wasn't that I didn't feel like I fit in. It was just that I feel best when I am unclothed and I'm within myself coming outward.
Uh-huh.
I can't explain it. It's just a meditation that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing techniques are, you know, the child within coming outward and being with the adult within. When I'm complete with the wholeness in myself and staying in the moment.
Yes.
But it's almost like when I'm driving my car, night blindness per se. You know what I'm saying? But
it's
very interesting, because I have never discovered what indigo versus crystal children are.
Well, one of the other ones that we just said is not feeling like we fit in. And I was talking with my neighbor's young son, who is about just turned 11. And I have known he's an indigo. I've known it for quite some time. Just a beautiful, beautiful child. Adorable. He was telling me about how, he says, is it really wrong if I'm forced to do things that I know I shouldn't do in order to fit in with these other kids so I don't get beat up, or, you know, that I can fit in with them? And I said, you know, honey, it's really not that you to fit in with them. It's them fitting in with you, because they could tell that what they're doing isn't right. So they're trying to bring you in to make themselves feel comfortable. So you're really not, you really have the power over them. You should have seen his eyes light up.
Yes, his heart.
Oh, it was just, you could see the light coming on. You could see
Isn't yes. that just beautiful?
Oh, gives me goosebumps.
Oh.
I just love it.
You know what I have a deal with is that you remember back a couple of years ago when people stopped talking to me and I was teaching so much and they thought that I was so, I read like, what, 5,000 people over the years, and it was almost like people started shunning from me because they thought that I was reading them all the time, but you don't read people unless they ask you, you know, ask you to, you know.
Yes.
But also, I was talking to this gentleman that I was on the air a couple of weeks ago, and he PM'd me, or personal messaged me afterwards, after the show, and I was telling him about how, you know, a lot of people use the teachings afterwards but won't talk to me later, and I said it's almost like awkward. You know, and the awkwardness that's gone through in my 52 years of life throughout this way. And he said that that was a good, that was flattering, you know, a very nice flatter, you know, that people will take my ideas or concepts or what my visions are or what my quests are as well. And I said, but that's not the point of the matter. The matter is that I'm being shunned after almost like people go into the shadows and do things. And it's almost like an awkwardness to me. So I guess that is the same thing as what you're talking about.
Yes, the awkwardness. You know, when you're around people, people can pick up on what we term as light workers. People can pick up on when such has come into their places, come into their presence. They can spot us, and depending on what mindset they are, what they have been taught or what they have allowed themselves to be taught will depend on how receptive they are to people like you, to me, and many, many others. One of the things that we have to learn is to not allow that the intrusiveness of that to become, to intrude into ourselves, to disrupt
right.
our energies, to know, you know, one,
healed it.
Having that understanding with the person, you know, depending on how they are treating us.
Uh-huh.
Because some people will tell you how that you're either to interact with them or if you are to handle them.
Right.
Because we are not here. We are not here for them to take advantage of us.
See, and that's a hard thing for me, Clay Walker, because I have so much love inside of me.
Yeah, you do.
And
yes, you do.
I do, and I have a hard part of my lesson that I'm here on Earth is to not be taken advantage of. And I just don't get it.
Think about
I don't
Think
know
about
how
being,
to not be taking advantage of because the love is overwhelming inside of myself to where I won't. I have been freely given these spiritual gifts. I do not learn from other people except for God and the saints and the stars and the creations and the knowing. And then I freely give it out like I do on BBS Radio. And the callers, or the Yahoo chat, or the Pal Talk chat, or the AIMs, or the people that come to my home for learning. I don't charge. I don't want money from it. I want to give it back out. But for people to sneak and go behind my back with things, you know, and then shun me is beyond measure of, you know, it doesn't hurt me. It's, I don't want their karma to be paid in exchange. Does that make sense?
Yes. It reminds me of a saying, a passage that I've carried with me for some time, that it is an acknowledgement of good, loving, caring souls, compassionate, who are here to help heal the world and help bring it back to harmony and balance. Is that the passage goes like this: evil will do its utmost to snuff out the light that is in you. It will do its utmost
What was that saying that you have as well about the beauty?
Oh, yes, yes. What beauty is there in you that can find such beauty in me? As it can also be said, what beauty is there in me that can find such beauty in you? You know, think about those, this saying that I have, that I created, and thinking about that passage, you know, that really helps bring clarity to what I said about people will show you either how to interact and be with them or how you must handle them. Because we're at that time where I'm hearing so many people that are getting the messages of this antagonism, and it's bringing them to a point where, you know, it's great to be loving, it's great to be kind and compassionate and want to be uplifting and encouraging, but we're also having to learn that kind of the tough love.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're having to set these boundaries to where, no, I am not here for that. I am here for this. You know, one of the things that is so wonderful about being amongst like-minded people that are of this, what I love to coin the term that a friend of mine is coining, the golden age. Instead of the new age, he calls it the golden age, being among the light workers. When we're amidst each other, the reason why that it is just such great energy is because we really don't want anything from each other. We're all knowing that we're walking our path. We know that we're, you know.
Exactly. Amen to that.
We love being in the friendship, the moment of the friendship, the encouragement. Yeah, you know, talk about, well, I didn't know if I was going to make it through that one, but, you know, here I am, you know, and, babe, I knew you'd do it.
I tell you what.
I knew you could do it, babe.
Isn't it
the truth? Rocking in the free world.
and share alike.
Yes, yes. And you know.
And give some attaboys and some pats on the back,
yes,
and hugs. And give some, you know, a little bit of, you know, if you need some wings, you know, spread, some wind beneath those wings, give it.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm seeing, well, Pathfinder, you know that I've had to relearn the English language, and I've had to relearn pretty much what all that I had learned in the first 30 years of my life.
Exactly.
One of the things that I see that people really fight against, that there's a group, a certain type of mindset that evidently thinks that it's okay to say, because of what others have done, I'm going to make you pay for it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to make you carry that debt. And, you know, people are feeling that energy, and they're feeling that intensity. You know, when we go into the Yahoo chat room, you know, that you see this, well, I'm going to find somebody to yell at that I can exert.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
I really feel this.
Where they shut them down, so many of them.
Yeah, and the way to combat that is not to pass that on. Sometimes it's very hard for me to remember, because of what this person did, I cannot take that and say, well, for instance, you'll hear that, well, all women are da-da-da-da, all men are da-da-da-da, and it's like, no, we got to get out of that thinking. No, because when you say all women are da-da-da-da, you're talking about me too, and I know I don't fit what you're saying all women are like, and same thing with men. No, we can't do that. We have to go, no, this instance, this energy belongs to that, with that instance or what that person put on me. I'm going to block that out. I'm not going to allow that to be intrusive spirit. How do I transmute that so I don't pass it on? It's one, being around other like-minded people. You and I love Native American music. We love the pure chords of this instrument.
Oh,
you know, the old Indian flute, you know.
And John DeBoer is something else, isn't he? The
yes.
The Native American flutist John DeBoer. The Lens in the Moonlight and Thunder.
Yeah,
gosh, Spirit of Thunder. You know, he came out with a book to tell his stories. I have to send you that IM so we can get you that book. But that's so true. The Native American flute just mellows me.
Yes, and the pan flute. I love the flute.
Yes, and
you know,
the animals.
Indigos, because we're so many of us, you know, we've heard the prophecies that by 1980, there's going to be this, we're having this inundation of indigos and crystals. And of course, you know, you and I and many of our friends out there, we're from the 60s and 70s. We're the flower children.
Yes, we are. 70s.
That movement that was going on, learning, releasing the religious, you know, bindings and really getting into
and a God of Demeter, baby.
We are the mentors. We have come in preparation of the arrival of this inundation. This is what our age bracket is here for. And we are here to help teach them how to, this energy that they're picking up, that they're feeling, we're all feeling it. How is it that you transmute that energy and then translate it into the world, into your life? Because we have to get in touch with that, because there is so much of this frequency of this negative energy that is a disruptive energy, and everybody is feeling it. Everybody is feeling the anxiousness that it is bringing, the anxieties. They feel like, you know, we got to do something, but what is it? But I know I'm supposed to be doing something, but what exactly, where direction do I go? What do I do? You know, and this is, of course, this is getting a lot of people to start becoming very spiritually awakened and seeking us out, and here we are. We're here. You know, thank God for the Internet, because we can get into these rooms and reach these indigos and reach these crystals and reach everyone else who is feeling this, what is going on with my life? You know, is there really a God? Does God even see me?
Oh, man.
Yes, honey. You know, you bet.
There are so many times that I have had to call 911 for people on the Internet, or I have had to vision quest and find people on the Internet for them to be picked up, you know.
Yes.
In a room when they have felt like they were going to die, and get them help, you know, remote view to where they were living.
Yes.
But,
and you know, I've had people that I've met that is in that state. One of the things that I'll do, and I've done this not just in a PM with that person, but when I have gone into a chat room and I'm seeing this disruption and people are so stressed out and the bickering and the fighting going on, I'll take control of the mic and I'll put on this positive, peaceful, relaxing, moving energy, and it's just like somebody turned the light switch on.
Exactly.
You know, it's just the opposite. And I know what that music is going to do. I'm just sitting back waiting to watch the effect, and seeing this transference into a better energy. And with people who feel this stirring anxiety of, they feel like they're going to die, they're, you know, or they're really contemplating removing themselves from this life. One of the best things that we could enter into them with is have some of this music going in the background while we're talking to them.
Do you know Gibby Reed?
Calm that energy down.
You know Gibby Reed's or Gibbeous Moon? He now reads with music for people. And that's some of the techniques that he uses in Pow Talk.
Yes, whenever I do readings, I hardly ever will do a reading without having some of my music going, because that gets me, it lifts my energy up, and it helps me to be more in tune and also that I can help control, because sometimes people don't always know, even I don't always know that when I've got an intrusive spirit, disruptive, one of the ways to combat them from entering into that reading and being destructive is they always, these type of spirits like to throw it off.
Well, I'm going to give out the call-in numbers because we've been online with BBS Radio for about 40 minutes, and I'm sure that we have the college buddies and we have a lot of different people that might want to call in, because I have not, I've had the calls being held. So let's give out the call-in numbers, see if anybody wants to get any readings or ask you questions about your death experience. Would you like that, or indigo children, crystal children, or any of those questions? So they can listen up, tune in to 877-876-5227. USA and Canada number is 888-815-9756. And the direct line is, if you have a plan, is 530-876-3222. That's CBS Radio. You're listening to the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show with Kathy Cook and Plane Walker underscore 777 of yahoo.com. Okay. And what is your input on the saints and the angelic figures that are floating around today? I see and feel them more and more each day in the spiritual warfare that we go out and fight in our spiritual realms, because I do declare I go out into my almost like a matrix explained, where he goes and gets plugged in. Well, I'll sit in my yoga position, and I will go out there, and I will go into my warfare. I will get into my wings, will expand, and I will just go flying straight up. I'll get my big, huge fish net, and I will just scoop up whatever negativity is going on. I'll wrap it around. I'll sling it around like big Goliath, and I'll scoop it up in this big bridge, this humongous bridge, and I sling it over into the pits of death. Then I transmute it into the ultraviolet flame of Saint Germain, into the total positiveness. Then I spin myself around up to the highest pinnacle, and then I shoot off into the star, almost like I am in Star Wars. And I mean, I can literally feel it. And then I come back down and just sprinkle all this golden dust upon the earth and blessings. And then I come back, and the energy is just tremendous when I come back and do that. It's like I can be looking so horrible, and I can say, I look so great, and I will get compliments even in a grocery store going, aren't you so nice, aren't you so sweet, you know, or something like that, because I have that put on my body, in my head. And in my heart, you know, whatever you project yourself out to be is what you're going to expose yourself as becoming. You know, if you think you look good, or if you think you feel good, if you think and feel that, then that's what you're going to project out. And also, I wanted to express one other thing that you said about in the rooms that we go into, the chat rooms, where we go and teach a lot, where we just type and talk. And I always tell those people, you see me tell it 1,000 times, what they're saying about themselves, those nasty things, is what they're feeling about themselves inside. So that's why we always pick those people up and start hugging them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because whatever people say is what they're thinking about themselves. My brothers and I used to hold out our finger, you know, our pointing finger and our thumb finger, and we used to take our other finger that was pointing. And when we would say our words back and forth to each other, we'd scoop it around like a U and bring it back to the other person, it's just going right back at you.
I have had people that will come up to me in a grocery line or other places where they just come up and just hug me. And I welcome it. I know what's going on. When you're emitting that type of energy that you're talking about, that is so warm and so inviting, that they are picking it up. You know, this is what we've been kind of talking about, how intrusive energy can come in and be disrupted, that we can turn around and project the energy that you're talking about, that people want to come up and hug you. And what is a hug really about? You know, I love those hugs where you just hold each other, pat each other on the back, and I can see this person just, I can literally see this light coming brighter and brighter, and their eyes, and they're glowing, and just smile at one another, and I get it. I understand what that's about. And have you ever walked along or been in a store and you see somebody that's walking along and you just have this sudden desire just to reach out and touch them?
Oh,
yeah.
You know,
just kind of a pat on the back.
I am a touchy person. I touch all the time.
I understand about that direction, about having that type of influence, because I know that when I touch that person and they kind of raise up and they look at me, and I especially love to do it with the elderly, you know, they'll kind of look up at me and I'll just smile at them, and all of a sudden, you know, they kind of straighten up in their back and they get this warmth and this smile, and it's like, you know, that is just so cool, God. I just love that.
Oh,
I love lifting people up like that.
Let's turn up some energy. Let's send some energy out to the universe. Let's send some to BDS Radio. Let's send some to all the active listeners and those who are not listening. And let's send it to all the sick and all those that aren't sick, and let's especially send it to the government. How would that be?
Collective energy.
Collective energy. You ready?
You bet.
Let's do it for the count of 30 seconds. You got your clock going? Let's just go from
okay.
The heart chakra all the way up to the crown chakra. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 8, 8, 8, open. Eight, 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 three, two, one, two, three, close. Thank you so much. And so it goes. It has opened up a new dimensional rim out there. So now all the energy shifts have started. We've opened a new energy shift. It is now 9:46, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and a 9 is a 19, is a 10, which is a double 5. So that is a double change. Exactly. Plane Walker, we did it again. You there, darling?
Yes, I am.
We did it on a double 5.
I'm sorry, Kathy, I didn't hear that.
I said, I looked at the clock, and it was a double 5 because it was 9:46, which equaled to a 10, which was a double 5.
We're having a lot of numerology come up, aren't we?
Yes, you know me and my numbers.
A lot.
You know I'm going to do the numbers.
Oh, yes. I take you really fascinate me. I have been so blessed with you in my life, Kathy. You really are a treasure.
Well, thank you so much. You are as well. You are such a master, Dinesh.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, Kathy, there was something that you were that you said just a bit ago that I really would like to highlight on. You're talking about that you go past, you expand through the universe, you're out there and you come back to yourself. This is something that my guides have been working with me a lot on and explain it to me, because I end up doing things and not really know that the reason why I'm doing it. And then after I'm doing it for a little while, then they start telling me what this is about. I think about on some of these imagery where in space all of a sudden you see this bright white light and it's an explosion. You see it. You don't hear anything just right off, but you see this shock wave that just transverses the expanse. And then as if to go into a vacuum, it comes right back into the center of it. And then you hear the boom-boom. When we think about that and we project ourselves to transverse the universe, it is to gather up this powerful, positive, wondrous energy and bringing it back into ourselves, which in turn amps up our energies, collectively gathering up that vast knowledge and then being able to put it back out there.
Exactly. That's exactly what we do. We gather it up, take it all the way up there, bust it open, come back to ourselves, sprinkle it out, and go back down.
Yes. A lot of healing there.
Yes, ma'am.
What we're also hearing with, along with the numbers, like if you look at the clock and you see 11-11, 333,
222. That's opening the stargate to the dimensions, yes.
Yes. We're hearing the numbers.
You're preconditioned and pre-coded with the 11-11 before birth.
There is, I Googled 11-11 one time, and it was really, I was really surprised about the information that just come up with putting numbers in there. There's a lot of great information that it talks about what they call midwayers, that when you see these numbers like this, that it's...
The crystal lights, darling. Crystal lights are pre-coded with 11-11 before birth, and then they see the numbers. And that's what you are.
Oh, wow.
Light workers. And see,
yeah.
What's so great about this is I'm born on the 11th. My son's born on my birthday, the 11th. My daughter's born on the 11th. Her husband's born on the 11th. My son, other son's born on the 29th, which equals the 11th. And my son married his wife on the 29th. Her birthday's on the 29th, which equals the 11th. So we're all 11s.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That is something else.
I know. Isn't it, though?
That's powerful.
Yes, ma'am. We're all 11s. And I was born at 11-11.
I could tell that really lifts you up. I can feel that energy, that as you're thinking about that these numbers, I can feel your energy increasing.
Oh, wow. You want to feel some good energy? I'll send you some. I'm ready to send some good energy. You remember how I sent you some energy and your ear was hurting so bad? You did some healing energies. We have some good healing conferences, don't we? Where we send energies back and forth.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Plain Walker.
No. You're
I wish
very
more
welcome.
People, and I hope for more people, and I believe for more people, to open up to the energy fields instead of just talking their talk. They will walk their talk, but they will feel their talk.
Yes.
And they won't just be there for their egos, but they will be there for the actions.
That reminds me of another saying that I have. It goes like this. The sound of truth is undeniable. When you hear somebody who is, as you're talking about, who is in tune with themselves, that have right, truthful, good ethics, that are truly wanting to help people, who are walking their walk, who are going along their path, that when the truth is said, the spirit picks up on it. It knows there's no doubt that that is the truth. You know that you know that you know it's the truth. This is how that you can, well, everybody has that ability, the language of the soul.
Amen.
Shalom. The higher language. The language of the soul.
I'm so filled with the spirit right now. You just bring it me up so wonderfully. It's so great to have you here.
Oh, I love being here. Thank you so much for inviting me, Kathy.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I have been longing to be able to expand the work that I have been doing for the last 10 years to share what my death experience brought about, what I have been taught with it. You know, when I was quite young in my reading, I was probably, I think, about either into my third or my fourth year. There was a show on A&E that was called Unexplained Mysteries. My mother had caught this one show where this psychic by the name of Susan Gray was on it. And Susan Gray is also a healer. My mom kept encouraging me to speak with Susan Gray. And I thought, well, more than likely this is going to be a very, very busy person, and being able to talk with them over the phone is going to be maybe not so easily obtainable. My mom, through her constant encouragement, I finally located her phone number on the web, and I called her. And when I did this, it just so happens, I just love the way that spirit works. The timing when everything starts just unfolding gets you there, and you just see it happening. It's just like dominoes going down, one into another, into another, into another. Well, the time that I called her, her office was, she had a scheduled appointment right at that time, but the person had to cancel it, so she had an hour to spend with me. I had offered her any type of reading the type of readings that I do, which are vast in numbers. I have many, many gifts. And for her to do a reading for me, we would trade out. After spending about my readings tend to last a couple hours or so.
God, like my readings do.
And sometimes I've had them. Spirit can be quite talkative at times. I've had times where it's even 4 and 5 hours. We'll go until spirit has given the message, that this person is needing to hear. I will stick with it. I don't mind, because I know that this person is needing to hear these messages, is needing this type of encouragement and uplifting in their life. And I know that they're going to be doing much better now. So I don't mind investing that time. I love doing this. And I know you do too. It's why we're always working with people, because we just love to give this to people, feed the people, feed them. When I had finished with her,
that's what
her
we call our deep root readings. That's what we call our deep root readings.
Yes, the gift. That's the gift of it. The gift of the gift. She had said to me that she has known about her gifts ever since she was a child. She has worked to develop them all her life, and she's a woman that's in her 40s, I think, maybe early
50s. We have 1 minute going.
And her comment to me was she had never met anybody who was as accurate and who was as informative, which gave me, of course, that's the confidence that I needed to hear. This will enable me to be able to talk with others. And I love having that confidence that I know that I can help people share this wisdom, teach them also how to do it, what they're capable of doing.
Oh, that is so true.
It is awesome.
So if you ever want to get a hold of Plain Walker, can I give out your name for the active listeners? We've got less than 1 minute. We have to go now. It's Plain Walker _777 at yahoo.com. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook. Listen up, tune in, same time, same channel, next week, and remember, always stay in the moment. Listen with your heart and not your mind. Your mind is man-made of people, places, and things along the way. Mucha love ya. God bless. Bye-bye, Plain Walker.